Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Sorima, today joined by Marius Ruit. Let's get into our first news story of today, and this is the ANC is promising that as part of its renewal project to fix the party from the not great state that it's in currently, it's going to be sending its members back to school to have a political education. The ANC says that it will be having a compulsory foundation course and a new set of rules for anyone who wants to join the party. The compulsory course will see members, including NEC and officials, quote unquote, go back to school, and they will be made to do a five-module course about the ANC, its values, its objectives, its ideology, that kind of thing. Apparently, they also want their members to give reasons for why they're joining the party when a new person comes to sign up, because they believe that this will reduce the number of people seeking to join the party for financial gain. ANC's head of political education is David Makura. He said that anyone is free to join the ANC, however, they want a specific kind of activist who could create change. He said there are many weaknesses at this moment. We want to deal with those weaknesses. There was also some discussion from Katlego Motlanthe, who's the head of the ANC's O.R. Tambo School of Leadership, who said that there was actually very little idea of who the 600,000 members of the ANC actually were. And this is kind of a big deal because the membership determines which branches get the most delegates, and in fact, that determines who gets elected president of the ANC. Katlego Motlanthe basically suggesting that they need to do some kind of full audit of their membership and actually work out who are their members, why are they these people members, and whether they're actually contributing to the party in any sort of way. Maurice, what do you make of this story? I mean, from a sort of, if you kind of take is this good for the country or not out of the question, and you just ask, is this good for the ANC? This is probably a good idea, but it depends really, simply having a piece of paper that says, oh, I'm joining the ANC because I want to make the country better, it's not going to fix the problems of political patronage.
No, it won't. But I do think this is a sign of the ANC actually doing some introspection after the terrible election results in May. And I mean, the people who are involved in this, they're some of the more people that I think have got a bit of a respect outside of the ANC, people like Dave Makuva and Khalema Motlanthe and Pello Jordan is also mentioned there. I know he lied about having a what do you call it, a postgraduate qualification, but I mean he seems to be always one of the more sensible cabinet ministers and so on. So the people
Well,
who
when he got caught lying about that, he did have the dignity to resign, which is something many
exactly.
other ANC leaders have not done.
Yeah, I mean it's already. I mean it's a bit funny that you have to go lie about having a PhD in the first place. But if you get caught out for lying about it and you resign, at least that's one thing. So I mean I think it's good that the ANC is doing some introspection, yeah. And I think it's probably good for any organisation to make sure that the people who are members understand the history and so on. It's probably useful, but yeah, it's I think it's quite telling that they don't really know who's actually in the party. And as you say, it's pretty important because the bigger branches, the more delegates it can send to ANC conferences and actually have a real influence on things like ANC policy and who gets elected to be the next leader of the ANC. And at the moment, it's still pretty much a done deal. If you become head of the ANC, you're going to become president of South Africa. It's still a pretty good chance that in 2029, the next leader of the ANC will be also president of South Africa. So these are important positions, and I think it's a good thing that it's all getting audited and making sure that these 600,000 people actually do all exist and they're not, kind of ghost members that have been brought into, boost branches that would, in theory, support a certain candidate.
So it's an opportunity if the ANC wants to actually change its course a little bit to start saying, emphasizing different parts of its history, right? The ANC has a very long history. It's an old organization. It's existed since what, 1910, I think.
1912, I think.
1912, sorry. So it's just slightly younger than the Union of South Africa. There's different parts of the ANC's heritage they could emphasize. I mean, the ANC was a far more liberal organization prior to the sort of 1940s, the Albert Luthuli era, that kind of thing. They've also had, a wide variety of people in it. So I think there's an opportunity here to move the ANC away from the dogmatic sort of Soviet style adherence to the National Democratic Revolution in their internal training and that kind of thing. If they continue with that, well, you know, they're going to continue to be in the same place that they're in now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good for any organization to go through a bit of renewal. And as you say, this is maybe an opportunity for it to do it. But I mean, the ANC disappointed a lot of people a lot of the time, so but it remains to be seen. But yeah, but I think that's also a good point. The ANC has gone through quite a few different iterations since 1912 and hasn't always been, you know, kind of a communist organization. Well, not, I mean, I don't know if you could call it communist now, but it hasn't, it hasn't always been, you know, as left-wing as it is now and has been in the past.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think this is an opportunity for renewal for the party and maybe, as you say, giving it a new kind of focus.
We'll have to see. You know, I'm somewhat skeptical of that happening, but at the same time, you know, the people who seem to be in charge of this are the people who I think would be more likely to do that kind of thing if anyone is going to do it. Okay, so let's move on now to the MK party. And the media has been reporting, I think this is from News 24, of a leaked recording from Jacob Zuma complaining about internal fighting within the MK party. There's lots of golden quotes from here. I'm just going to read some of them from the news story. Zuma didn't realize he was being recorded and he was addressing disgruntled members at a meeting. I'm just going to quote some things from him here. "We're a laughing stock. No party fights internally like we do." This was after a number of party members had protested outside a Johannesburg media briefing where the MK party was announcing several new high-level appointments. Basically, they were complaining that these people had been parachuted in ahead of people who had joined MK from the beginning. Zuma went on to say things like, "We're always complaining, just like this comrade who is speaking here was complaining. Where is the discipline? We politicize everything. I don't agree to that. That's why when I sat and fought with the ANC, I said, I'm building a political party. What would I name it? I would not name it democracy or democratic whatever. I have nothing to do with that. I have something to do with Mkhonto Sizwe." He said, "I'm hurt because we're fighting and nobody doesn't know that in this world, we're fighting in the higher structures. The Women's League and the Youth League are fighting. How does that help us advance? I'm not going to allow that. We can't want positions when we're soldiers. I don't like to fight. I like to talk." He then said that he was going to go back to KZN and crush one of the internal factions, which is calling itself apparently the Do or Die faction, which is a great name for an internal faction of a political party. He went on to say, "Soldiers," which is what he refers to ordinary members of the MK party, "were not allowed to speak in a meeting being addressed by leaders, and that there must be discipline and issues must be dealt with internally and properly." So, Maurice, we're seeing Zuma's authoritarianism on full display here within his own party, but also, you know, the fact that the infighting in MK is very real. There is a lot of issues in that party that, despite Zuma's sort of absolute control over it, he still hasn't been able to crush the infighting.
Yeah, and I think that's why MK's probably got some big problems in the long term. Zuma doesn't really seem to be building up any kind of you know, leadership structure around himself. We've already seen that he's been kicking out people who've been in the party. He's got the sense of chaos, but that's how he was when he was president of the country. You know, he kept reshuffling the cabinet. You know, there were always like he'd bring people close to him and then he'd kick them out again, and there was nobody would know how long, if they were his ally, whatever the case is, and what have you. But also, I think just just shows you this authoritarian streak that Zuma has. But even in the MK party constitution, who's looking through it now, there doesn't seem to be any kind of way of electing your leaders. It just says, you know, the leader's the president, then so we'll have elective conferences, or we'll have elective conference every 3 years or 5 years, whatever the case is. Also says the president is the commander general of the MK party, which also, you know, it's this really weird kind of cosplay and pretending that you're fighting a war. Like, that, you know, that the struggle was 30 years ago. The war's over. The EFF does the same kind of thing, you know, this really, all these silly titles, you know, commander in chief and, you know, central command structure and all this stuff. It's quite insane. It's not kind of expecting a democracy.
It's even, Exactly. Not only is it kind of anti-democratic, but it's also worse when you often struggle to organize your way out of the paper bag, which seems to be MK's big problem at the moment, is organization is not very strong in that party. I mean, the number of people on their parliamentary list who have been replaced is insane. It's like a huge chunk of the caucus has just been chucked out and replaced with entirely new people. So if you voted for certain person on the MK party list, which to be fair, I don't think many people did. Those people are no longer really in parliament. They've all just been replaced by new faces. Faces who almost all of them seem to have some kind of cloud over their heads. MK is like a
Yeah,
magnet for those kind of people.
it's crazy, all these like people who've been who have things, yeah, as you say, like things hanging over them, or accused of crime, or criminal activity and whatever. It's like really, it's a real rogues gallery. But yeah, I don't know. It's yeah, I think it's I don't have much, all that much hope for MK Party doing much into the future, given the way Jacob Zuma is running the thing at the moment. And the guy's already, I think he's what, he's 82, I think. So he seems to be, I mean, there's already been talk about his health and so on. And nobody, doesn't matter who you are, is going to have much energy and stomach for this kind of rough and tumble of politics once you get past much into your 80s, I don't think.
No, exactly. And with the party having literally no succession structure whatsoever, how are they going to, if Zuma steps down, how in the world are they going to actually organize a successor? It's going to be a bloodbath. Anyway,
I think my
very
literally a
briefly, let's,
bloodbath as well.
yeah, actually, might literally a bloodbath, knowing the history of KZN over the last couple of decades.
Let's hope
So
not, but
that's
yeah.
something to keep a close eye on, I think. Another thing to keep an eye on is our last just thing that we're going to mention briefly for today, which is that we had this weird system with the sort of three ballots that was done in the most recent local, the most recent national provincial election, which was to amend our system to allow independent candidates to stand. Not a single independent candidate actually won, which was, I think, kind of made the whole thing look a bit silly. But anyway, we're now looking at a more solid reform that's supposed to be taking place. There's a committee that's been set up by Parliament, consisting of a number of sort of legal experts and politicians and such, to suggest what the new system should be. The recommendations will take place in the 2029 election, and they have 12 months to complete their work and submit their findings to Parliament, which hopefully will act on it a little bit sooner than they did with the last set of changes. But Marius, what kind of reforms should we be looking at to make our political system, our parliament work a little bit better?
Yeah, so we have a proportional representation system, but at the moment it's a kind of party list system. So you don't directly vote for your representative, you vote for a party. The thing is that we have to have a proportional representation system that's required by the Constitution. But what we could do is kind of have a dual system, the same system we have at municipal level, where you vote for somebody to represent your area, and then you have another vote to vote for a political party. And you have kind of have two lists. You have your people elected from areas, and then another group of people elected from party lists to ensure that proportionality is met. It's not a very complicated system. It's used in a lot of countries around the world. It's used in Germany. It's used in New Zealand. It's used in Lesotho. So it's used at municipal level in South Africa. So that's one suggestion. There's a couple of other ones that are floating around. And if people are interested, we've done some work on it, so they can go see what we've written on it. Just Google Electoral Reform and Institute of Race Relations. You should be able to find the various papers we've written on it. And yeah, it's hopefully something that can happen. Our current system, well, not the one we used in the last election, because it's a bit unwieldy with the independents being kind of bolted on. It's not a completely terrible system, but there isn't a link between voters and the people who represent them. And party bosses have quite a lot of power over where people go on the list and so on. So it's, as I say, the current system's okay, but it can definitely do some, can stand with being reformed a bit, I think.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I think there's a bunch of things that we could do to make voters feel more closely connected to Parliament. As you say, you can go and check that out. All right, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you very much for watching the show. We hope you found it interesting, and that's a wrap. The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.